Good morning, everybody. I am so glad to see all of your smiling eyes. When I was younger, I have a younger sister, and she, for some reason, would only make one face ever, and she called it her grandpa face, and I don't really know where she got that from. We don't really have grandparents, and she would go all the time, and she would never smile for photos, so we have hundreds of photos of her going. Well, finally, my parents found out that they could tell her, hey, make pretty eyes. And she'd go, and she would just bat her little eyelashes. So anytime we took a photo, they would say, make your pretty eyes. And she would just bat her eyelashes and try to make the prettiest eyes. So if you guys see me and I just close my eyes at you, I'm making pretty eyes. I'm glad that you're all here this morning to join us. And for those of you on the interweb, I'm glad that you're here as well. We missed the presence of this place and having you guys, and every Sunday being here with you guys is just such a blessing, and I'm just so thankful and honored that I get to be a part of it. If you would go ahead and take a moment, reflect, and prepare your heart for today. The Lord be with you.
Sing to God, everyone and everything. Get out his salvation news every day. Publish his glory among the godless nations, his wonders to all races and religions. And why? Because God is great, well worth praising. No god or goddess comes close in honor. All popular gods are just stuff and nonsense. But God made the heavens. Splendor and majesty flow out of him. Strength and joy fill this place. Shout glory to God, families of the peoples, in all of the glory, in all of the strength. Glory, shout glory to his famous name. Lift high a worship offering and enter his presence. Stand resplendent in his robes of holiness. Everyone on earth, tremble, take God seriously. He's put the earth in place and it's not moving. So let heaven rejoice, let earth be jubilant, and pass the word among the nations, God reigns. Let ocean, all teeming with life, bellow. Let field and all its creatures shake and rafters. Then the trees and the forest will add their applause to all who are pleased and present before God. God reigns. Thank you.
pray with me? God, as we look to the unknown of this week and this month and this year, remind us that you hold the future. Draw close to us during our worrisome times and remind us not to act in fear but in your love. Open our ears and our minds and our hearts to hear you speak today and this week and in our lives. And open our mouths to sing your praises each and every day. Amen.
Good morning. This message is for my friend here and my friends at home who I miss so much. Boys and girls, I miss your faces, I miss your laughs, and I miss you running through the halls of the church, and I hope that you guys are well and having a wonderful summer and not getting too many sunburns in all of the sun. So this is for y'all today. Okay, so the other day, well, it was actually a couple of weeks ago, I was getting some stuff in the garage, and I shut the garage because I didn't want to, there was someone walking past, and to be secretive, there was someone walking past on the, outside the street, and I looked really gross and kind of nasty from the day, and so I shut the garage really fast so that they wouldn't see me looking all gross, and after I shut the garage, the light inside the garage did not come on. It was so dark in the garage, and my car was in there, and I was on the other side, and I kind of panicked a little bit and thought, oh my gosh, I don't want to trip on anything and fall and cut my leg or anything, and I didn't know what to do because the light wasn't coming on and it was so dark, and guess what I had in my hand? My trusty cell phone, and I did this. Siri, turn on the flashlight.
It's on.
And he came on just like that, and he said, it's on. And so I could see my way back into the house and be safe, and then I said, Siri, turn off the flashlight.
It's off.
Because I don't really know how to turn off the flashlight when the screen is not like that, so I have to have Siri do it for me. So I was pretty excited that I had this thing in my hand that would help me get inside from the dark garage. Well, I was thinking about today's lesson, and the verse for today's lesson is my very favorite verse in all verses, Psalm 119, 105. And it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And one of the coolest things we do here at Second Baptist Church, when you are old enough and you're in first grade, and those of you first graders who just completed first grade this year, I have not forgotten about you, I promise. When you're in first grade, we give you each a Bible, and they're beautiful, and they have your names printed on them, and then we give you this key. And the verse says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And this Bible becomes your light. It becomes your lamp, and it shows you the way. There's scriptures in here that I turn to. Sometimes I'm having kind of a crummy day, and I might Google something on the internet and say, I don't know what, I need something to help me out for this day and give me a verse. And then I'll go to my Bible and I'll read the verse that'll just pick me up and give me some encouragement for the day. But here's the thing. If we give you these Bibles and you have these Bibles at your house, it doesn't do you any good if it just sits on your shelf all the time. You've got to take out the key, right? Take out the lamp and read the verses and feel the encouragement that God gives us in this Bible. It's a beautiful scripture and it's beautiful words to encourage you and to help you get stronger in your faith. So I encourage you, if you have your Bibles at home, boys and girls, take them out sometime and just turn to a page and read a scripture. Read a couple of scriptures for the day. You've got lots of time in the summer and see what God is trying to tell you through this light. I miss you guys so, so much. I cannot tell you how much. I miss your faces, and I cannot wait to see you guys again and hear you and hug on you and talk to you. Would you guys pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for being the light into our path. We thank you for giving us this tangible scripture that we can turn to and read and follow your advice. God, we know that you love us. We know that you're watching over us. We know that you are in control. Help us to remember that. It is in your most holy name we pray. Amen.
What a fantastic preamble that was, Cheryl. Thank you. Let me get my readers out here. So today's Old Testament scripture reading is Psalm 119, verses 105 through 112. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it, to observe your righteous ordinances. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your decrees are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever, to the end. The word of God for the people of God.
Every hour. We need thee every hour, O God. It is more of you and less of self. It is more of your love and less of our hate. It is more of your hope and less of our anxiety. It's more of your goodness and less of our greed. We need thee every hour, every minute, every school year, every pandemic, every hour of worship. We need thee. And there is more than enough of your love. There is more than enough of your presence. There is more than enough of your goodness and your spirit to overcome any of our wants. For these, my brothers, my sisters, my friends, for those in our city, in our world, for all who need you, O God, be more than enough. In the name of the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, we pray together in faith. Amen.
Today's gospel reading is from the 13th chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 9. That same day, Jesus went out to the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, 60-fold, 30. Let anyone with ears listen. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let my heart be good soil, open to the seed of your word. Lord, let my heart be good soil, where love can grow and peace is understood. If my heart is hard, take the stones away. If my heart grows cold, warm it with your day. If my heart gets lost, lead it to your way. Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart be good soil. Lord, let my heart be good soil, open to the seed of your word. Lord, let my heart be good soil, where love can grow and peace is understood. If my way is dark, help me understand. Should I start to faint, refresh with your command. If the thorns surround, lead to higher ground. Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart be good soil.
I feel like a Southern Baptist preacher in the fall with the Cowboys kicking off at noon. Worship starts at 11. Tottenham plays Arsenal, as you well know, at 10:30 this morning. And we just haven't had a soccer reference in a long time, and I knew you've been missing that. With 100-plus temperatures, let our minds and our hearts and our souls think of December. Oh, that's better, isn't it? Yeah. With some decent preaching during Advent, which may be hard to come by, combined with some incredible worship through carols and candle-lit Christmas Eve service, peppered with the general generosity of the holiday season. Altogether, this is a surefire recipe for spiritual zeal, and if we're honest, just a hint of guilt, which all can lead, as we journey to the manger, all of this spirituality and joy can lead to a New Year's commitment to read the Bible in a year. I wonder, have any of you ever made that commitment and done it? you all need to read more scripture. I have never. And with highs in the 50s and lows in the 20s, January 1st inaugurates the journey with Genesis 1 in the beginning. And most plans by February 1st, you have journeyed through Genesis and Exodus, and February 1st lands you in the wonderful Leviticus. And most at this point won't make it to Groundhog Day. Anyone dare confess that you've started the Bible in the year and then not finished it? I'm on that team. It's good to talk about this in the heat of the summer because the wounds are just too deep as Lent begins in early spring. It's about that time of the year that I can sense the anger among some in our congregation who have made this commitment. It's not uncommon. And now you know this insider trading here. It's not uncommon during an Ash Wednesday service for me to look up and see one with the Bible in their lap and their head down, crushing those 3 to 4 chapters they have to read each day, having no idea where we are in the Ash Wednesday liturgy. And if that's you and you'd like to make your confession now, we receive that, and it's just fine. Similarly, whenever I have the pleasure to recommend a scripture reading plan to enrich the soul and to teach the core of our faith, as a pastor, I tend to recommend this plan. Read one psalm a day and read one gospel paragraph a day. Read one psalm a day and read one gospel paragraph a day. And the hope is that after 118 days, or maybe it's 118 weeks, the habit finally sets in, one a day, and by the time you get to Psalm 119, in its 176 verses about the Word and about the law of God, you either have learned the grace to just skip, or the habit has took and you'll work your way through it. 17th century French mystic Madame Guyon says, "Scripture, engaging with Scripture, is not judged by how much you read, but by the way in which you read it. If you read quickly, you will benefit little. You will be like the bee that merely skims the surface of all the flowers. Instead," she says, "instead, become as the bee that penetrates deep into the depths of the flower, plunge deeply and slowly to remove all of its nectar." Incredible. Thomas Merton tells a story of elders from the nearby city who came to the monastery to study scripture with the abbot, the leader there at the monastery. And the elders began to talk about this very scripture with the abbot. And the abbot asked them, What do you think this gospel lesson of the sower and the seeds and the soil, what do you think it means? And sure enough, one of the elders talked about the sower, and sure enough, one of the elders talked about the soil, and sure enough, one of the elders talked about the seed. And then finally, the fourth elder looked at the abbot and said, "I don't know." And to this one, the abbot said, "Truly, this one has found the way of the scriptures. For as our God is endless in love and compassion and goodness, so too is our scripture endless in meaning. The scriptures are not to be understood. The scriptures are endlessly understood, as well as our lives change, our hearts develop, our world increases in complexity. So too does the meaning of scripture continue to blossom anew each day." Incredible, isn't it? Hang with me. 4 adult brothers all gave their mother a 75th birthday present. The first son built his mama a wonderful home. The second son had a massive audio, video, television, home theater system put in the living room of that home. The third son opened the garage and delivered a Mercedes sedan for his mother on her 75th birthday. But it was the fourth son, who knew that his mother's vision was waning, who approached a pastor who had trained a parrot to quote all of Scripture. And wouldn't you know, that pastor made a deal with this fourth son, with 6-digit tithes committed for 10 years. The pastor agreed to let go of the parrot and give it to this son's mother on his 75th birthday. And the time came for the mother to write thank you notes. And to her first son, she said, "Son, the house is too big. I live in only in one room, and I have to clean the whole house. Thank you." To the second son, she said, "Son, the television is incredible and so large, and I can see it, but I can't figure out how to turn the darn thing on. Thank you. I gave it to the neighbor boy next door." To the third son, she said, "That is a nice set of wheels you gave there. I don't drive anymore, and I've got this app, and my groceries are delivered right to me. Thank you. But to the fourth son, who gave the parrot, in which all the mama would have to do is just name a chapter, a book, a verse, number, and the parrot would recite all of Scripture to her. The mama said, "Son, your gift was so thoughtful. The chicken was delicious." The spirituality that I receive, either as I inherited it or as I interpreted it, encouraged a scripture practice within me closer to read the Bible all the way through Genesis to the maps every year. And for a person such as myself, who is not a strong reader, for a person such as myself, for most of my life in which found poetry pointless, this sort of zeal for Scripture ironically produced more shame, guilt, and rote practice instead of contemplation, compassion, and connectivity with the divine. You see, it took me years to learn the way of the bee. It took me years to understand how much more less can be. I find myself captivated with the idea that reading Scripture slowly not only allows for me to encounter divine words, but it allows for the Spirit to read me. Now, for those of you who are strong readers, for those of you who genuinely enjoy the more of more, God bless your little heart. That's how I feel about you. But for me, for the most part, when it comes to Scripture, less is more. It is. It's beautiful. I think it's beautiful that we all have different experiences with Scripture. And I think it's imperative for us as a community of faith to acknowledge that even as we address words divinely inspired and divinely preserved, all for the purpose of presenting the God who is one, there is not a one-size-fits-all to approach or experience the Scriptures. Some of us will devour and engage the Scripture with our minds, our intellect, our hearts, our soul, our own creative writing. Some of us will arrive at various meanings and interpretations, and other of us will just cover the whole thing in barbecue sauce. And if that's all you can hear today, I think that's good. I think that's enough. But a couple things. Since we've been meeting back together in person, I've been preaching a little bit longer. I know that, and I know you've told me that. And to make matters worse for you, last night I got some sleep. Woo! This morning, I had coffee out of pure enjoyment, not out of necessity. So we're going to be here for just a while longer. Today, we encounter, as part of this wonderful acrostic poem, Psalm 119, 176 verses dedicated to the Word of God and to the law of God. Each paragraph essentially beginning with a Hebrew letter. Today we're at the letter Nun, the letter N. And just a side note, I grew up with this letter in my family, don't you know? If you were to ask a brother, "Hey, what is that?" A brother would say, "It's Nunya." Do you know what Nunya is? It's none of your business what I have. This to me is very similar to this Hebrew word, letter Nun. So each paragraph begins with one of these Hebrew letters, and here we are at the letter Nun or N, and the poem begins here with the word for lamp, near. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Here the lamp most often translated lamp, sometimes translated candle. The lamp is that which is needed at night. And the light, the word here for light, is the light of the day. And suggesting that the word of God is comprehensive. It's all that we need at night, and it's all that we need at day. The original readers, I would think most likely in their minds would go back to the Exodus and the time in which the people are escaping bondage. And it is there that the light of God at night leading the people. It is there in the day as a cloud, a fire, a pillar. God is leading the people. In the same way that God is all that the people needed to be restored out of Egypt, it is the word of God now that all that the people need to continue to move forward. Ogmandino says, I will love the light for it shows me the way, and I will love the darkness because it shows me the stars, day and night. Further, Richard Rohr suggests that light is not something such that we see. Light is the capacity by which we are then able to see all else. Reminding us that Scripture, the Word of God, is not an end unto itself. An important word, I believe, for Baptists especially, who have made the Bible an idol. This is not God. It is these words that reveal to us God. It is a lamp that lights everything else. Just a bit further, the word of God here in Psalm 19 is also not referring to Scripture. Throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, the word, as used here in Psalm 119, is referring to actual words spoken by the Lord. Most often in the Hebrew scriptures, this word is used when so the word of the Lord came to the prophet so-and-so. Or it would say, so-and-so heard the word of the Lord in this way. This is a point in history in which, number one, most can't read. And number two, most also cannot afford the instruments to write or learn to read. What good at this point in history is written word, but very little. At the beginning of the parable that Andy read earlier, and he did a great job, he preached the sermon for me. Thank you, Andy. At the beginning of the parable, Jesus says, listen. You say, listen. And at the end of the parable, Jesus again says, those with ears, listen. All of this taken together shows us that the Word of God is a verbal experience. The Word of God is not simply Scripture written down. It is to be experienced. Listen. Friends, how can you listen? Friends, what are you listening to? Verse 105, the word of God is a lamp unto your feet when it is dark. The word of God gives light to all creation, which sustains life itself. Verse 107, the word of God comforts the afflicted. The word of God, verse 111, the word of God is a joy unto the heart, not a burden. The word of God has spoken, is speaking, and will speak. Breathe. And listen. Just listen. In the very beginning, our first creation story, that January 1 verse, all of creation itself is a verbal event. God speaks the heavens and the earth into existence, and it is so, and it is good. For thousands of years in history, God is revealed as deliverer, as savior, as sustainer, as artist, as healer, as spirit. And these stories are collected by the community and they're told over and over and over again, a verbal event. Eventually, these oral traditions were developed into written form and read regularly by the community. This is what the early worship services simply were, a coming together of the people and a reading of the stories about the Word of God. Eventually, our tradition realizes that the written words and the experience words are near to one another. And here's where I think the kicker is. Our God, who is revealed in creation, our God who is revealed in history, our God who is revealed in the story, and our God who is revealed in the written word, becomes Christ. And the word became flesh. So who are you listening to? The word took on skin. The word came close. The word became relationship. And don't you know, today, there are you who are also wrapped in skin, who also have that original light and image of Christ deep within you. So it's not just what or how are we listening, but it is also who are we listening to and who is listening to you. I believe that there are people listening to you. Reverend Dr. Hardy Smith Clemens, along with his beautiful, beloved Ardell, lived long, incredible lives grounded on the beauty and the complexity and the comfort and the truth of the Word of God, both written and experienced, didn't they? For those of you who don't know, Hardy was a pastor here in our community for 22 years and a wonderful and a beautiful man who passed through the veil of this life and into complete love not long ago. He was like a tree planted by a stream of water and yielded fruit. He was like a city on a hill whose light could not be hidden. He was like a gardener who watered the soil. You see, I know that God is love. I know that Christ is risen. And we know that the Spirit is here now because I have seen these things in Hardy and others like him. And it is because of Hardy and others like him that I find myself reading the Scripture more. And it is because nowadays I'm hearing the Word of God through you. And it is because of you I find myself reading a little bit more poetry. You, my friends, with the Christ deep within you, wrapped in skin, you, my friends, you are the Word of God for the people of God. You are the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. For Hardy, for Ardell, for his family, for those remembering his legacy, we pray for your comfort. We give thanks for the inspiration of those who remind us that we are the living Word of God. At times, this can be a daunting task. But what a privilege, what a pleasure to embody your Spirit, to present your goodness. I pray for these, my friends, that you would go with them today, that they would be the Word, that they would be the gospel, and that you would be with them. In the name of Christ, we pray together. Amen.
you pray with me? Dear God, these are strange days. Change has come. Often we don't like change because it means we have to give something up, and that's painful. Now, you've told us you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And maybe it's time to let go of what we can't control and in faith embrace your promise that you are with us today forever. Dear God, help us to not become bitter over our losses, but grow through this adversity to become better people. Give us more patience, kindness, and generosity with each other and this church. We are blessed by you in silent ways that we take for granted, and we thank you and praise you for it. Amen.
I'm never going to get this down right. I'm sorry. That's okay. I'm so honored to see you. I'm honored to worship with those of you on the other side of a piece of technology. It's a real privilege to gather together for worship. That those opening lines, Lord, we worship you. What really needs to be more to be said? I'd like to just take a moment to thank Pastor Scott. I've been spending a lot of time with my family, and Scott has really just crafted these incredible worship services that are a little bit different and a little bit neat. And the choir did great today, didn't they? And so if you would just join me in appreciating Pastor Scott for doing all this. And I think we'll soon be celebrating another anniversary with you. And so, Scott, I'm very thankful. And for those of you who participated in our worship and made the voice of God be present among us here today, thank you so very much. If you'd stand, I'd like to offer some words to you. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. May you go and may you praise Him and may you be the Word of God. Go in peace. Amen.